Hi, this is Patrick Cox here in Boston with what else but some Ukrainian punk baby talk. Yes, today we have babies crying in their own languages. We think. We can't really ask them. Also, Ukraine embraces Ukrainian, and in so doing, turns its back on Russian, in some cases, mid-conversation.
I just remember at one point, I said, sorry guys, but that's enough. I have to reclaim my language.
Plus, a real treat, for me at least, the language of punk music, reimagined as bossa, folk, and reggae, the words delivered in a rainbow of accents.
As a free man, I take pride in the word, Ich bin ein Berliner.
Why, as an American, do I have to push a button to speak English?
Absolute, the biggest load of chicken droppings I've heard in a long time, Jeremy, I have to say.
The World in Words podcast and the World Radio program are both co-productions of the BBC World Service, Public Radio International, and WGBH in Boston. The World, the big show, is on more than 280 public radio stations around the United States. You can also listen online at theworld.org. Go there to check out all of our podcasts. I post notes on this podcast with links and pics and all of that kind of stuff. That's at theworld.org/language. Also at patrickcox.wordpress.com. There's also a World in Words group on Facebook, and I'm on Twitter. My Twitter handle is Patrick Cox. That's all one word, kind of shortened. PATRICOX. Today, a little thing on a study about babies crying. Then a report out of Ukraine about the struggle there to figure out which language or which languages the people there speak. Finally, the music and lyrics of French act Nouvelle Vague, which is to say the music and lyrics of punk and new wave, given a radical, new, heavily accented treatment. But first, as they say in the real news, babies. I always wanted to say that. But first, babies. I can't imagine there are too many of you first-time parents listening right now. I mean, you must have more pressing things to do. But if there are, here's something that might help when the little nipper won't stop bawling at 2 a.m. and then 3 a.m. Uh-oh, now it's 4 a.m. Okay, stop. Listen to the cries. Are you hearing English? Italian? Arabic? Well, a new study out of Germany and France suggests that we actually start learning language when we're inside the womb. So, by the time we're born and crying in the middle of the night, we may already be predisposed to picking up mama's language. My Big Show colleague Ritu Chatterjee hosts our science podcast, and she talked baby talk research with Elsa Youngstead of Scientific Research Society Sigma Xi. Here's Ritu.
Now, I know that this is probably not one of people's favorite pastimes, but if someone were to go out and listen to the cries of newborns from different parts of the world, they would actually find that the cries sound pretty different in different languages. And that's precisely how the researchers came about their conclusion. They analyzed the cries of babies who were a few days old from parents speaking French and German and found that the cries of the babies in each language imitated the intonations in their parents' language. What's so surprising about this, Elsa? We already knew that fetuses could hear sounds from the outside world, didn't we?
Right. We knew that they, by the third trimester, they're hearing and sort of learning things from the sounds. But there wasn't any evidence that they were actually modifying their own vocalizations until they were several weeks old. Uh-huh. And these babies were just 3 to 5 days old. So this is the very earliest evidence that they're actually producing sounds that mimic aspects of their native language. And in this case, the wow. specific finding, here, let's listen to them. Here's a French baby cry. And this is what a German baby sounds like. In French, it's a common intonation for words to become higher and more intense toward the end of the word. And then in German, the sort of falling intonation is more common. And so they think that the babies in the womb picked up on this and were already producing sounds that replicate that intonation pattern.
Well, I'll be listening more carefully to babies crying from now on.
Okay, Ritu, listen up and let us know what you hear. Ritu's science podcast, along with a bunch of other stuff, including a very active forum, can be found at theworld.org/science. More intonation, by the way, coming up when we hear what happens to an English song sung by a Brazilian, a French song sung by an English woman. Now, as you probably know by now, the world, I mean the real world, not the big show, the world has just marked collapsing Berlin Wall Day plus 20 years. We're marking it here. Well, we're marking it by stretching the connection to possibly a near breaking point. Here goes. The fall of the wall led to the fall of communism, first in Eastern Europe, then a couple of years later in the Soviet Union. One of the countries to emerge from that Soviet breakup was the former breadbasket of the USSR, Ukraine. Now, Ukraine has had its own language for a long time. It is, of course, the aptly named language known as Ukrainian. But like all former Soviet republics, it was highly Russified during those years. There was a lot of Russian spoken, especially in the cities. We did a related hit on Ukraine in a previous podcast, number 60. That one was about attempts to change place names from Russian to Ukrainian, and in many ways back to Ukrainian. This time we're going to take you to the Ukrainian capital of Kiev, where a lot of people are gearing up for a presidential election that's due to take place in the new year. And one of the key issues is Ukraine's relationship to Russia and to the Russian language. Here's some background. Ukrainian is the country's official state language, but half the population still prefers to speak Russian. The other half, the Ukrainian speakers, most of them understand Russian. So Russian essentially remains the country's common language. So which language does an American reporter who's going to be based there for a good chunk of time, which language does she learn? Well, that reporter is Bridget McCarthy, and here she is.
Language is one of the most vexing aspects of life in Ukraine, at least for foreigners. Before moving here last August, I didn't know which language to study. I'm still not sure. Here in Kiev, you see Ukrainian on street signs and on packages of food and grocery stores, as required by law. But on the street, you hear more Russian. Here, a little boy and his mother are talking to a man selling miniature cactus plants in Kiev's botanical garden.
They were speaking Russian, both the seller and the mother and her child.
That's Lada Bilenyuk. She's an anthropologist from the University of Washington and author of the book Contested Tongues, about the politics of language in Ukraine. A few steps away, two women are standing behind buckets of brightly colored roses.
So those two ladies, that lady is speaking Ukrainian.
Lada Bilenyuk uses that language to buy a bouquet of flowers. Bilenyuk says most Ukrainians are bilingual. They have to be.
Right now, you can't watch television without knowing both languages because one person may be speaking Ukrainian, the other person will be answering in Russian, or they'll switch halfway through.
The country's bilingualism is made easier by the fact that the two languages are closely related. Both use the Cyrillic alphabet, and about a third of the words are similar. And while this linguistic coexistence may seem peaceful, for many Ukrainians, it's also a political flashpoint. Some, including President Viktor Yushchenko, want to reverse the effects of two centuries of Russian cultural dominance and outright suppression of the Ukrainian language. Yushchenko is a native Ukrainian speaker. He argues that his country's survival is at stake. He told a German magazine recently, "If a nation loses its language, it loses its memory, its history, and its identity." Volodymyr Kulik agrees with President Yushchenko on the language issue. He's a researcher on ethnic studies at the National Academy of Sciences of Ukraine, and, like Yushchenko, is a native Ukrainian speaker.
Ukraine separated from the Soviet Union, but Ukrainians are still not separated completely from Russians mentally, culturally, and for some politically. And besides, if we have all Russian in common, how different we are from Russians?
Kulik says growing up in the Soviet Union, he didn't question the dominance of Russian.
For some time, I was polite in a way most Soviet Ukrainian people were. So when spoken to in Russian, I switched to. Then I decided no way.
He remembers the exact moment. It was in 1987, 4 years before Ukraine won its independence from the collapsing Soviet Union. Kulik was at a play with some Russian-speaking friends. It was intermission.
I just remember at one point, I said, sorry guys, but that's enough. I have to reclaim my language.
Reclamation of its native language was a cornerstone of Ukraine's drive for statehood. One of the very first things that Ukrainian nationalists did was declare Ukrainian the sole official state language. That declaration was partly symbolic. Russian speakers kept speaking Russian, and it's still widely considered the more prestigious language. Many Russians look down on Ukrainian as a peasant language. But that's changing, because Ukrainian is now the language of education. 80% of the nation's schools, including universities, now use Ukrainian as the primary language of instruction. And anthropologist Lada Bilenyuk says Ukrainian is starting to shed its humble country cousin image. In fact, it's becoming fashionable.
A lot of the musicians that I talk to from Eastern and Western Ukraine might have grown up speaking Russian or even still speak Russian with their friends, but feel driven to make their music in Ukrainian.
Твоє волосся жовте та блакитні очі сьогодні знов наснились мені. Обами моєго ти торкнутись хочеш, але ві сні.
This is Papa Carlo, a popular rock group from mostly Russian-speaking Eastern Ukraine. Their songs are in Ukrainian. Bilenyuk says this is part of a Ukrainian cultural resurgence led by young musicians and writers.
They are building something new. And this is a once-in-a-lifetime chance to create this country with this complicated history.
At the same time, Russian isn't going away. Even Ukrainian language champions like Volodymyr Kulik don't expect it to, or even want it to. The fact is, Russian is useful. In this part of the world, it's the language of business and science and cursing. Some native Russian speakers think their mother tongue deserves recognition as the country's second official language. Others, like Marina Yakubovskaya, think Ukrainians should continue to learn and embrace both languages. She teaches Russian at a university in Kiev.
Our president was right saying that language, it's the heart of the nation. But our nation, two-hearted, Russian and Ukrainian.
As for me, I tried to learn Ukrainian before I got here, but it didn't get me very far, because even if I could make myself understood, people in Kiev answered back in Russian. So now I'm studying Russian. One of these days, I might even understand some of those curses. For the world, in Kiev, I'm Bridget McCarthy.
Maybe I'll make one of those Russian curses this week's Eating Sideways. On the other hand, Mr. Russia, my resident in-house Russia expert, is not here today. So, нет, нет, нет. I don't want to make a horrible faux pas, and actually a horribly explicit one possibly as well. So, I will hold my fire. But I would love to know, why there's such a deficit of Ukrainian language swear words? I mean, no self-respecting language can simply import curses from a neighbor language, especially one that you're sort of not altogether happy about people speaking. Curses are organic, aren't they, linguistically speaking? Anyway, I'm desperate for someone to set me straight here. So please, Slavic specialists, fill me in. And if you can come up with a curse in either Russian or Ukrainian that's sufficiently mild and idiomatic, I'll feature it in next week's Eating Sideways. But this week, in observance of the gaping hole in the Ukrainian language where curses ought to be, there will be no Eating Sideways. What there is, though, now, is music. Music very much as linguistic code. Exhibit A is punk music, primarily from the UK and the US in the late 1970s. Exhibit B is the presence of a whole bunch of other popular music genres, reggae, bossa nova, bluegrass, bubblegum. Enter two translators of music language, two French guys who like to tweak and tinker, and not just with musical code, but with accents and intonation. Here's a report I did for The Big Show. Remember this?
Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi. Moi, 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 moi. Ça plane pour moi. Ça plane pour moi.
Yes, it's one-hit Belgian wonder Plastic Bertrand. Ça plane pour moi was an international hit in 1977, and it's been used in plenty of TV ads and shows ever since. A perfect song to cover for the band Nouvelle Vague. Nouvelle Vague is the brainchild of two Frenchmen, Marc Collin and Olivier Libault. This month, the group released its third album of covers of punk and new wave classics. The Nouvelle Vague treatment of this song parts company from the spiky-haired original, and Marc Collin and Olivier Libault take their cue from the lyrics.
Ça plane pour moi, in French it means, I don't know, like keep cool or...
I'm high,
yeah, something like that. In France, when you say that, it's a kind of hippie things. If you imagine a music with this kind of lyrics today, the first thing that will come to my mind is more reggae, actually. Keep relax. Cool, relax, in a way, yes.
The other aspect of the Nouvelle Vague treatment is the singer. Generally, Collin and Libo used non-English female singers, but Libo says they made an exception for this French language song.
This version of Ça plane pour moi is sung by an English singer called Rebecca, and it sounds very appealing for French ears because this English accent is really lovely.
Yes, he said lovely, not a word you normally associate with punk rock, which is a shame as far as Nouvelle Vague is concerned. You could say the group brings out the lovely, the vulnerable, the sad in punk. Collin and Libo grew up listening to bands like The Clash and The Dead Kennedys.
It was the music of our generation. We were really passionate about this music, these bands. We were quite young, but...
We were teenagers. I was 13 in 77.
Yeah, I was even younger.
Here's one of the songs from that time that inspired Nouvelle Vague, Love Will Tear Us Apart by Joy Division. It's one of those songs that has such a powerful aura and musical history about it that it's considered off-limits to mess with. So Nouvelle Vague mess with it. They gave it the bossa nova treatment with the Brazilian singer.
What happened is that we called a Brazilian girl called Eloisia. She came to the studio and we realized that she didn't know the original, because she was two generations after ours. You cry me till you sleep. I'm feeling spoils. Think you just in my mind.
Aspirations take hold. Just as summer so good. At first she refused to do it.
She couldn't understand the lyrics. Obviously we tried to translate the song to her. But in fact, the beautiful thing is that she was reacting to the melancholy of the song.
That was from Nouvelle Vague's first CD. For the new album, the band confronted an even more momentous piece of punk history, courtesy of the Sex Pistols. God Save the Queen was released during Queen Elizabeth II's Silver Jubilee, and it was banned from the British airways. It was a huge, snarling hit. Nouvelle Vague, this time with a French singer, reimagines it as a sweet, old-fashioned folk song.
God save the Queen, she ain't a human being. There is no future in England's dreaming. Told what you want, don't be told what you need. There is no future, there is no future, there is no future for you.
We wanted also to reveal the song because I think that most of the people are just, remember the two first lines, like God Save the Queen, the fascist regime. But with the production of the Sex Pistols, no one has really paid attention to the rest of the song. So with this version, I think that people, maybe for the first time, will hear the whole lyrics really clearly.
When there's no future, how can there be seen? Where the flowers in the dust been? Where the poison in your human machine?
There are lots of musical styles on the new album, country and bluegrass, as well as bossa nova and reggae.
There are collaborators too, aging punk rockers who sing or play along to their old songs, among them members of Echo and the Bunnymen, Magazine, and Depeche Mode. But the songs that work best are the ones where Nouvelle Vague reinterprets a classic without having to accommodate one of the original musicians. Their version of The Police's So Lonely is far more haunting than the original.
The way that Police did it was more like a pop, so I wanted to go on the sense, on the direction of the lyrics, and to imagine this girl that is singing these lyrics in a really, really sad way, and to reveal the lyrics and the melody of the song.
Marc Collin, who, along with his sidekick Olivier Libaud and various female singers, is currently on tour in Europe. For The World, I'm Patrick Cox. So when I interviewed those two guys, I couldn't help but suggest a few songs from back in the day that they hadn't yet covered that they may want to think about covering. And they were nice enough to listen and indulge me a little bit. So I gave them 5 song titles. And the one that topped my list, the one that is, for me, a no-brainer natural for Nouvelle Vague, that's the song that's playing right now. It's very early Adam and the Ants, long before the hits and the Native American face paint.
Young Parisians are so French. They love Patti Smith.
This song is called Young Parisians, and if Nouvelle Vague ever cover it, I think they should have it sung in French.
I wanna go to Paris with you, just to see what the French boys do. Why don't you come to Paris with me, see the young Parisians.
That's it for this week. My email address is language@pri.org, or see you on Facebook or Twitter. Bye for now.
Young Parisians are so French, they sit on the metro. Young Parisians are so French, not like me and you. I wanna go to Paris with you, just to see what the French boys do. Why don't you come to Paris with me, see the young Parisians. Alors, et maintenant.